Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to Option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief, formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 16 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We are continuing with the topic of Eretz Yisrael. In the middle of the line, you'll notice we have an aleph. Because there is a beis that follows, there are two approaches to the drasha of a particular pasuk that we're going to see very shortly. So this is the first approach. Amar Rebbe Elazar, Kol Hador Be'eretz Yisrael Shori Bolo Avon. Anyone who dwells in the land of Israel exists without sin. Shenemar Uval Yomar Shochein Cholisi Ha'om Hayoshev Bo Nesu Avon. Let's take a look at Rashi on the fourth line from the top. Uval Yomar Shochein Cholisi Klomar. What this pasuk is telling us is Al Yisroim Lomar Tsar Li, don't complain saying that things are difficult for me. Ki kulam nesuei avon. All of them are free of sin. So that all those that are dwelling in Israel are considered free of sin. Omar le Ravina le Ravashi. Anan, Ravina says regarding this pasuk, he says, we learn this pasuk b'soivle chaloyim masninon lo. We learn this in regard to those that suffer from digestive ailments, from stomach ailments. In fact, we saw a Gemara very recently that the majority of tzaddikim, they will say suffer from stomach ailments. Maybe for the sake of greater accuracy, we'll just say that when the Gemara makes reference to sovle chaloyim, that's a reference to people that suffer in general from chaloyim. We saw on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis the reference to tzaddikim, rov tzaddikim, they die from chole me'ayim, from digestive ailments. But this is a more general expression that people who suffer from ailments, so it would seem then that their suffering serves as a source of atonement, so that the pasuk can refer to them as those that dwell in sickness are considered atoned for their sins. Amar Rav Onan, Kol HaKovur Be'eretz Yisrael Kilu Kovur Tachas HaMizbeach. Anyone who is buried in the land of Israel, it's considered as if they're buried underneath the altar of the Beis HaMikdash. K'siv hocha, it says here, Mizbach Adomo Taseli, V'ksiv hosam v'chiper admoso amo. So that you see in both contexts, you have the context of the altar, the term Adomo is found, and the context of being in the ground, the burial, you have the word Adomo referred to as well. Ula have a rogil to have a solik le'eretz Yisrael. Ula was an inhabitant of Bavel, but he was a frequent traveler to the land of Israel. Noch nafshei b'chutz la'aretz. And to his misfortune, he died outside of Israel. Asu amrulei the Rebbe Elazar. They informed Rebbe Elazar of this. Omar ant Ula, Rebbe Elazar says, O thou Ula al adoma t'mea tomus. That unfortunately you died on a defiled land. Omrulo Aronobah, they told Rebbe Elazar that the coffin of Ula is being brought to Eretz Yisrael, here to Eretz Yisrael. Omar lahem Eino doime koltosei mechayim lekoltosei leachar misa. It's not, you cannot compare the individual being absorbed into the land after death as if he were absorbed by life. It's a greater merit to be absorbed in the land of Israel while alive than simply to be buried in the land of Israel. But, as we saw before, there is a merit to being buried in the land of Israel in that the Pasuk regarded that as being like buried under the Mizbeach, being buried in a holy, pure place. Hahu gavra denofla le yevama be chazoi. Now, this Gemara is not filled with too much detail, and Rashi doesn't mention anything about this, so we're going to have to explain this simply in context of the Gemara. And that is that there was a man that lived in Israel. His brother died, leaving no children in Beit Chozoi, a place in the diaspora, outside of Israel. Also, Lekamei de Rabbi Chanina. So the surviving brother, who has upon him the mitzvah of Yibum, to marry the widow of his deceased brother, so he came to Rabbi Chanina, and again, in context, it would seem, can I leave Israel to go to marry her? Amar Lahu, and here the brother, the surviving brother, who's charged with the mitzvah of marrying the widow, asks, Mahu lemechasu lo yavma? Can I go down? Mechas is to go down, to descend, and that's an expression appropriate for Israel. Israel is considered on top. Any departure from Israel is considered a descent. So is it mutter? Is it allowed to? Am I allowed to descend to go and marry her? Amar Le, Rabbi Chanina responds, Ochiv Nosa Kusis Umes. This guy's brother, meaning your brother, married a Kusis. Now, the term Kusis, generally speaking, is a term referring to a Gentile. The Marsha explains that since she lived there in Chutz Laaretz, outside of Israel, we learned just recently, we learned that anyone who dwells outside of Israel is considered like an idol worshiper. So they're considered like a Kusis. So your brother married a Kusis and your brother died, leaving no children. Baruch HaMokom Shaharago, blessed be the Almighty that took him away. And here the Marsha explains that he took him away, leaving no children. And again, in the context that what benefit would it have been of just having more children born outside of Israel to increase the population of idol worshippers, so to speak? For who Yered Acharav? And this surviving brother is going to go down following him there. So that it's interesting how the Rabbi Chanina responds in this way, and he just doesn't say it's usher for you to go. Apparently, it requires more analysis insofar as maybe this is my own theory, that Rabbi Chanina is saying that if you want to do the mitzvah and marry her, but make sure you bring her back to Eretz Yisrael and don't follow in the ways of your brother that settled over there. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Kishem Sha'osu Lotzeis Meretz Yisrael Abavel, just like it's forbidden to leave the land of Israel to go to Bavel, so too it is forbidden to leave Bavel to go to dwell in other lands. Rashi explains regarding Bavel on the third narrow line, Kach osu lotzeis mi Bavel lefi sheshesh sham yeshivos amabitzus Torah tomid. Bavel was characterized as a land that had a lot of Torah centers, and it was constant Torah learning, and a place like that has merit. And to leave a place of great Torah learning to outside that region is forbidden. Rabo of Rav Yosef, the Amri Trevayo, afilu mi Pumpadisa lebei Kuvi. It's forbidden to leave even a place like Pumpadisa to go to Bei Kuvi. Now, here again, Rashi doesn't explain very much other than prohibition is to leave Pumbedisa to Beit Kuvi to dwell there, to live there. from the context, again, it would seem that Beit Kuvi might very well have been a place outside of Bavel, but from the fact that the Gemara uses the word afilu, it suggests that it might be very close to the border of Bavel, and therefore the term afilu, even from Pumpadisa to Beit Kuvi. Another possibility is, but this is a little more far-fetched, is that that Beit Kuvi is within Bavel, but Pupadisa was a place of great Torah learning, and to leave that to go to another place, even if it's within Bavel, but it's of a lesser, it's not a center of Torah learning, that would be prohibited. Whatever the case is, you can see that there is a great deal of emphasis placed on being in a location where there is great Torah learning. There was someone that left Pupadisa to dwell in Beit Kuvi, Shamte Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef excommunicated him. Someone went from Pupadisa to this other place. Again, you don't see, Rashi doesn't explain where this is, so we are left with the theories we suggested just a moment before. But it's leaving a place of more significance to a place of less significance, and he died there. Omar Abai Iboy Hait Sum Rabbonan Avichai. If that Talmud Chacham wanted to live longer, he could have. In other words, he went to a place that he was inviting catastrophe on himself. Rab over Rav Yosef Dami Travayu Ksherin Shibabovel Eretz Yisrael Kol Tason. The kosher ones of Bavel, the meritorious ones of Bavel, Eretz Yisrael will absorb them. Ksherin Shibisharotzos, Bavel Kol Tason. The meritorious of other lands, Bavel will absorb them. Now, it's mashma from here, it sounds from here, that Eretz Yisrael is considered the most special place. Lemai, regarding what is Eretz Yisrael considered the most special place? If you're going to suggest that it's with regard to purity of pedigree, of heritage, of descent, in terms of family, a pure family lines, that means that in terms of pedigree, there's no suspicion of, or no chashash, no suspicion or doubt concerning that mamzerus, illegitimacy in one's background, or slavery, abdus, in one's background. So if you're saying that Eretz Yisrael is the purest community in that sense, that's not true. V'amar mar, kol arotzos isol Eretz Yisrael isol abovel. The word isol is dough. Dough, by its nature, is mixed. It has different ingredients mixed in. So this saying coming from Maseches Kiddushin, it says that all the lands are considered all mixed up with some pure pedigree, some impure, questionable family lines. They're all considered all, looks like we say colloquially, all messed up relative to Israel. And Israel is considered messed up with regard to Bavel. In other words, Bavel, and there's a historical point that the Gemara makes about this, is that when Ezra left Bavel in the time of the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash, he was the leader, and he left behind a community from his viewpoint with we'll say less leadership capacity, and therefore he had to purify Bavel to make sure that he's leaving back a country where the continued marriages and the continued community will be of pure descent. So he took with him all the questionable people to the land of Israel. That's why Israel is considered Esau with regard to Bavel, which had been purified by Ezra. So with regard to what is this statement that the ksherin of Bavel would be absorbed into Israel? Ela le'inyan kvura. This is with regard to the issue of burial. Rashi says, about a little less than halfway down, Rashi says, Ela le'inyan kvura shel Bavel Molichan are assembly probably the Beretz Yisrael. The people of Bovel, the Sheirin of Bovel, when they die, they're brought to burial in Israel. V'shel Shaar Arotzes Aruchayk Meretz Yisrael, Krevim of Bovel, those lands that are even further away from Eretz Yisrael, but closer to Bovel, they're Kovrin B'Bovel, Sheyesh Shom Zechus Torah. Bovel has the merit of Torah. Omar Rav Yehuda, Kol Hador B'Bovel Ki Ilu Dor Beretz Yisrael. It's interesting to note, as you go through the Gemara, we dashed underline Rav Yehuda here. We dashed underline his name about the 10 lines up when he was quoting Shmuel, where you can see Rav Yehuda is the one that we saw at the end of our previous year that was arguing with, had a difference opinion between him and Rabbi Zeira regarding leaving Bovel. So you saw there that Rav Yehuda, based on a pasuk, was of the opinion that one should not leave Bovel. And it seemed from Rav Yehuda's own opinion, one shouldn't leave Bovel even to go to Eretz Yisrael. From the way Rabbi Zeira had avoided him, who was going to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Yehuda assigned a great amount of significance to Bovel, and each time you notice that when Rav Yehuda speaks, he quotes psukim to bolster his opinion. So Rav Yehuda here says that anyone who lives in Bovel, it's as if he's living in Eretz Yisrael. Shenamar, Hoy Tzion Himolti Yeshivas Bas Bovel. So from this pasuk, you see the juxtaposition of Tzion, which is Eretz Yisrael, with Babylonia. Omar Abaye, Naktinon Bovel Lo Chazil Chevle De Moshiach. Abaye says that there's a tradition that Bovel will not see the pangs, the pains of the coming of the Moshiach. Tirgum al-Hutzel de Binyamin. That is explained of where in Bovel, a place called Hutzel of Binyamin. The Korule, and in the times of Moshiach, that place will be called Karno de Shizvosa, literally the corner of salvation. As far as what these things mean, it would appear to me, at least, that it's to be researched, to investigate. After all, as this recording is being made, at least, Bovel is the area of Iraq, and one would have to consider as this recording is being made, there's basically no Jewish community in that part of the globe today. So what this is a reference to is something that needs to be looked into further. We did see before, though, that Bovel was representative of a concept. It represented a place of great Torah learning outside the land of Israel. So that it could be, again, I don't have a basis for saying this other than what we saw alluded to before, is that instead of limiting the idea of Bovel to a specific geographic area, it might be extended to places of great Torah learning, though they are outside the land of Israel. We continue. We have a new marking, the firebox marking, and the reason for this is we want to highlight Rebbe Lozer's name in order to create a connection between what he says here and what he says on Omid Beis. And we have the firebox marking is also limited to cases where a particular name or sheet or idea is going to keep us occupied for a relatively long time. And that is the case here. We have a topic heading on the side, Shitas Rebbe Lozer, Mesim Shebechutz La'aretz Einom Chayim. The opinion of Rebbe Lozer is that the dead outside of the land of Israel will not merit resurrection. The Gemara, Omar Rabbi Elozer, Mesim Shebechutz La'aretz Einom Chayim. Those that are dead and buried outside the land of Israel will not come back to life. Shenemar, and he quotes a pasuk, V'nosati Tzvi Beretz Chayim. Now, word Tzvi if you translate it literally, it has to do with a deer. However, it also has another meaning to it, another translation to it. It has to do with desire or will. So, Eretz Shetzivyoni Ba, the land that I desire, that I have a will for, Mesim Chayim. That's the land of Israel. There, the dead will come back to life. She'ein Sivyoni Ba, places that I don't have a desire for, Ein Mesel Chayim. They do not come back to life. And as you can see, we have a new marking, a triangle, and it alternates. And you'll on the side, under the Mivneh heading, with the point facing up, that represents a challenge to Reb Elazar. The inverted triangle is like Reb Elazar. So we continue. Mosif Rabbi Abba Bar Mommel. Rabbi Abba asks, Yifyu Meisecha Nivlasi Yekumun. That's a pasuk, and it's my lav. What does this mean? Yifyu Meisecha, the dead will come back to life. That's Mesim Sheberetz Yisrael. Nivlasi Yekumun, that is a reference to Mesim. Nivlasi is a corpse. A nevela is a term associated with a dead creature. Yekumun means they will come back to life. So this part of the pasuk is a reference to Mesim Shebechutz Laaretz. Umai Venosati Tzvi Beretz Chaim. And Rabbi Abba has to explain that what does Reb Elazar's pasuk refer to? Anevuchadnetzar hu dechtiv. The pasuk is from the book of Isaiah, from the prophet Yeshayahu, and it's a prophecy concerning Nebuchadnezzar, who was to appear as a destroyer of the Beis Hamikdash many years later after Yeshayahu. And Yeshayahu is prophesying. The Omar Rachmona, the Almighty, is saying, "My Sino Alayo, I'm going to bring upon them, upon the land of Israel, Malka, a king, to Kolil Kitavia, that's swift as a deer." So here the word Savi, Tzvi, is reference to the deer, as we indicated before. Omar Le, so Rebbe Elazar says back, Rebbe, Mikra Acher Ani Doresh, I expound on a different pasuk to come to my conclusion. No saying Neshama La'om Aleha, the ruach lahoychiba, that I will give the soul unto the nation that is upon it, the land of Israel, and a spirit to those that walk in it. So that's why I feel that only the Mesim in Eretz Yisrael will experience resurrection. Ah, ve'la hoksiv nivlasi yekumun. What about Rabbi Abba's pasuk, where we saw the double reference to resurrection, and he mentioned that was the resurrection of the dead in Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara says, no, hahu b'nefilim hu dichtiv. Nivlasi yekumun is a reference to nefilim. Nefilim are miscarriages, but in Eretz Yisrael. That miscarriages, those kind of children that were stillborn or miscarried, they will also merit resurrection, but only in Eretz Yisrael. V'Rebbe Abba Bar Mommel, that he was of the opinion that the Mesim of Chutz La'aretz do arise. Hi, noisei neshama le'amala mai ovigle. What does he learn from this pasuk? The pasuk that Reb Elazar just cited to indicate only in Eretz Yisrael. Answer: mi boyale lichad Rabbi Avo. So Rabbi Abba Bar Mommel will use it for Rabbi Avo's teaching. Diyomar Rabbi Avo. Afilu shivcha kinainis sheberetz Yisrael muftach lo shehi bas ha'olam haba. Even a heathen bondmaid, but she lives in Israel, she is guaranteed a portion in the world to come. And how does Rabbi Abba Bar Mommel see that? Sivacha li'amoleha, the pasuk that Rebbe Elazar originally quoted, so he takes that to mean the li'amoleha is going to be a reference to the Shifcha Kanais, to the heathen bondmaid. How do I know that? It says here li'amoleha uksiv hasam shvulachem po im hachamor, and the word im. And that pasuk is a reference to Avram Avinu and Yitzchak and Eliezer on their way to the Akedah. And the pasuk says, sit here with the Chamor. The Chamor is Am Hadoma LaChamor, a nation that's like a donkey. A nation, a donkey is an animal associated with work and servitude. So it's a reference to slaves. And therefore, Abba Bar Momol, he sticks to his opinion that the Mesim of Chutz La'aretz will merit resurrection from the Pasuk Nivlasi Yakumun. And as far as the Pasuk Noisi Neshama Le'amoleo, that's a reference to even the Shifcha Kenainis in Eretz Yisrael will merit a place in the world to come. The Ruach Lohilchim Ba, that's the second part of that Pasuk that was quoted originally by Rabbi Lazar. Amr Abirmiyo Barabo, Amr Abiyochanan, Kol HaMahalich Arba Amos Beretz Yisrael. Anyone who walks 4 Amos, 2 meters in the land of Israel, Muftach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba. It secures a place for him in the world to come. Tremendous merit, you can see, for being in the land of Israel. The Gemara asks, "Ule Rebbe Lazar Tzadikim Shibachutzlarz Einam Chayim? Could that possibly be that the righteous that are outside of the land of Israel don't merit resurrection?" Amar Rebbe Loi, Al Yedei Gilgal. No, they do merit resurrection. However, their coming to life is only in the land of Israel. And if they're dead and buried in Chutzlarz, how will they get here? So their bones, their remains will tumble to the land of Israel and come back to life in Israel. Maskif lo Rabbi Abba Saloch Rabba Gilgul Litzadikim Tsarhu. We're describing the righteous. That process of having the remains roll unto the land of Israel is a pain. It's troubling. So why should they have to go through that? Omar Abaye. Abaye explains, Mechilos nasois lohem bakarka. Rashi, he says, Mechilos nasan bakarka, v'oimdim al raglem, v'holchim b'mechilos ad eretz Yisrael, v'shom mevatzutzin v'yoytzim. So that the Mechilos are tunnels. Tunnels will be made for them underground, whereby the dead will come back to life in the sense that they'll be able to walk through these underground tunnels. They don't have to roll in the tsa'ar fashion, in the painful way. They'll be able to walk, but they'll come above surface in the land of Israel. You notice that we're translating this on a fairly literal basis. We've mentioned many, many times throughout our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shiurim, that there are many concepts that the Gemara communicates in a veiled fashion, secrets that are not to be revealed to all, and are communicated in this, we'll say, simple fashion. And for those who really merit understanding it, will research it, or will be taught it by those who know the secrets, what we call the Kabbalah, the mystical hidden parts of Torah. So we're translating, but bear in mind that I personally would not limit the Gemaras to the simple translation, because if you do, just imagine a righteous person that is dead and buried in, we'll say, in California, and a tunnel is formed from California to the land of Israel, and he would then walk through that, quite a few thousand miles. 8,000 miles or so to Israel, And then that would be the solution for the issue of tsar. That would seem a little bit hard to believe. So we are translating it, but we're also mentioning that there is probably another dimension of understanding here. We continue with a drosha, and we have a number here, number one. And then two lines later, number two, where the Gemara says, Kayotze Badovarata Omer, a similar idea will be expressed there. So we're calling this number one. Unasasani Mimitzrayim Mekavarti Bekvurasam. This is a reference to Yankev Ovinu. Before he died, he insisted that his children take his remains and bury them in Israel. He will carry me from Mitzrayim and bury me in the burial place of my forefathers. Omar Karno, Dvorim Bego. Karno, it's the name of a Talmudic sage. He says, Dvorim Bego. Rashi says, Yesh kan Dvorim Mesutorim Bedover Zev Vitzorch Loses Lahem Lev. Here Rashi echoes the point we made just a moment before, that here there are hidden things, mesutarim, from the word seser, sansum is something that's hidden, and one has to pay attention, one has to look into this. Yodea hoya Yankev Avinu shitzadeh gomor hoya. Yodea, that means that Yankev knew about himself that he was a completely righteous individual. V'imesim shebechutzor tzchayim, if, as was suggested before, that the mason, the dead in Chutz Lo'aretz, come back to life. Lomo hitriach es bonov. Why did he trouble his children to travel with the body to Israel and bury him there? So we have a very dramatic answer, and he says Shemo lo yizket lemechilos. He was fearful that he might not merit the tunnels. There's another explanation, and it says on the side, Shlo kibol of tsar mechilos. He didn't accept upon himself the tsar of the tunnels. So that this idea of the tunnels, even though it was quoted earlier to be a solution to the tsar of Gilgal, nevertheless, there was some kind of tsar that remains, and he didn't want that either. That we suggested before, I say half jokingly, the tsar of the long walk. Kayotze Badovarata Omer. Similarly, it says, Vayashba Yosef es Bnei Yisrael. And the pasuk continues to say, Valisem es Atzmo Yisai Mizeh. Yosef, at the end of his life, imposed an oath on the children of Israel, on his descendants, on the people of Israel, to bury his remains in Israel. After all, Yosef was the viceroy of Mitzrayim, and he was initially buried there, but upon their redemption in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yosef requested and Vayashbaz Loshen Shvuah, he bound them by oath to carry his remains to Israel. Omar Rabbi Chanina, Dvorim Bego. Like we saw before, there's something deeper here. Yodea ho Yosef Batzma Shetzale Gomer Hoya. Yosef knew that he was a completely righteous individual. V'meisim Shebechutzor Chaim Lomo Hitriches Echov Arba Meos Parsa. If the dead on Chutzor come back to life, why did he trouble them to carry him such a distance? 400 Parsa. That's a measure of distance. Shema Lo Yizkel Mechilos. What he was fearful of, that maybe he won't merit the tunnels. Sholchule Achui L'Rabba. Here we have a long point. And on the side of the Gemara text, you can see we've written Michtav L'Rabba, a letter written to Rabba. So, just a word of introduction. Rabba, it's Rabba Bar Nachmeni. He was one of the greatest Amoroyim that we have. He had very famous students. Abaye and Rava were his students. Rabba, as this Gemara opens up, lived in Bavel. He had brothers that had left Bavel to live in the land of Israel. And his brothers were trying to convince Rabba to leave Bavel and come to Eretz Yisrael. From the context, we can also assume that Rabba, at this point, was probably the greatest luminary of his time in Bavel. That's, again, only from the context of this Gemara. If you want to offer an alternative opinion afterwards, then by all means. But that's an assumption we're going to make for right now. And his brothers are putting pressure on Rabba through a letter to come to the land of Israel. And let's see how they do that. Sholchulei achui l'Rabba, they sent to Rabba the following, Yodea hoya yankiv shitzade gomer hoya v'chulei. The quote we had before from Karna, that Yankiv knew he was a tzadik gomor, as you might know that you are a tzadik gomor, but that wasn't enough for Yankiv to have his remain stay in Mitzrayim. He was still worried about the issue of the mechilos. And Ilfa Moisif Bodvorim, and the brothers of Rabba mention that Ilfa adds there was a man who had great desire for a woman who lived in Chutzlaret, who lived outside the land of Israel, and he wanted to leave Israel to marry that woman. When he heard this, the idea that someone who dies in Chutzlaret, he might be a massively righteous individual, but he'll still have to go through the mechilos, those tunnels. Gilgal ba'atzma ad yom moso. He restrained himself until the day of his death. And they continue writing to him. Afal pi shechochem gonulato. Even though you're a very great wise man, a great scholar. Einu doim eloimed me'atzma leloimed me'raboy. There is no one, if you can't compare someone who learns on his own to someone that learns from a teacher, from a master. And if you say, I don't have a Rav, and that's why we mentioned before that it seems that Rabba had reached the pinnacle of Torah learning in the Babylonian community, and you will argue that, well, why should I come to Eretz Yisrael? I'm not going to find a Rav there. And they had indicated that he was learning by himself, suggesting, like we said, that he didn't have anyone to learn from where he was. And it's better to learn from a Rav. And if you say, well, coming to Eretz Yisrael isn't going to solve that problem, Yesh l'cha Rav umanu Rabbi Yochanan. You do have a master in Israel, someone who could teach you, someone who is above you, and that's the great Rabbi Yochanan. One of the first generation Amoroyim, and to anyone who's learned even a little bit of Gemara, one will have noted the frequency in which you see Rabbi Yochanan quoted, and he was absolutely of the greatest of the Amoroyim. So you have someone to learn from here in Israel. Ve'im ein ata oile, and if you, for some reason, you still do not come to Eretz Yisrael, I want to point out that there's a Tosfos in Erevin, Daf Chof Beis Amid Beis, which in fact indicates that Rabba did come to Eretz Yisrael, but their letter is prior to that, because as you can see, they're writing to him while he's still in Bavel. And they say that if you don't come, be careful regarding three things. Three matters, you'll see three matters that are health related. Al tarbe bi yeshiva, shi yeshiva koshele tachtonias. Don't sit too much. Sitting too much can bring on an ailment called tachtonias. It might have to do, it's an ailment that afflicts the part of the body where upon which one sits. Some might explain it has to do with hemorrhoids, but I don't commit myself to that. But nevertheless, it's something related to that area of the anatomy. The al parbe ba'amida shamida koshel lev. Don't stand too much, because too much standing puts a strain on the heart. The al parbe ba'alicha, don't walk too much, alicha koshel einayim. It's troublesome, it's injurious to the eyes. Ela shlish b'yeshiva, shlish ba'amida, shlish b'hiluch. Try to divide up your behavior into thirds. Third, sitting, a third, walking, and a third, standing. Kol yeshiva she'en imo smicha. Any sitting where one would sit sit without leaning while sitting. There's a text of the Gemara now that we have in brackets, which is not accurate. The Gemara will fix it. So if we want to read the final version first, the correct version, they're saying any yeshiva, any sitting without resting on something. In other words, when someone sits on a chair and he rests his elbows on the table, so to speak, or his arms he's leaning on the table, supporting himself on the table that's next to him, that's yeshiva shiyeshi mosmicha. But let's say sitting on an isolated stool in the middle of a room without anything around you, that would be yeshiva without smicha. So all sitting without leaning, we skip to the top line of Amud Beis, Amida shiyesh bo smicha noicha heimena. It would be better to stand while leaning on something. So sitting without leaning is worse than standing and leaning. Now let's go over the text that we skipped. Kol yeshiva sheni mo smicha amida noicha heimena. Standing is better. Standing is better than sitting without a leaning. The Gemara says, or ask, amida salka daita varmis amida koshel lev. How can you say that amida is better? Did we not say that standing is a strain on the heart? Ela yeshiva she'ein bo smicha amida sheyesh bo smicha noichei mena. What really is meant to be said is that sitting without leaning, without resting upon something, supporting yourself, it's better to stand with a support. The Chen Amru, and their letter continues. There are three names here, and later the Gemara will explain who they are. The Chen Amru Yitzchak v'Shimon v'Oshaya Amru Dover Echad. The brothers of Rabba said that Yitzchok, Shimon, Shaya all say one thing. And what's the one thing that they say? Halacha Krebuda Befredos. Here they're sending a point of halacha to their brother Rabba, and that all of these sages, I would assume that these were sages that were in their vicinity in Eretz Yisrael, so they're sending a message of these great luminaries to their brother Rabba, that the halacha follows Rebbe Yehuda, the Tana, Rebbe Yehuda, with regard to Pratos. Pratos are mules. We'll see what that is in a moment. Just let us point out that a mule is a creature that comes to be through the mating of a horse and a donkey. A sus and a chamor. Now, what's the halacha of that's concerns mules? Desanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, preda shetova ein marbiyam aleha. A mule that comes from it's a kilayim animal. It's an animal that comes from mating two other creatures, the two unlike creatures, the horse and the donkey. So when the mule, the female mule, goes into heat, tova means it desires contact. So ein marbiyan aleha, you don't mate it with lo sus velo chamor elo mina. You don't mate it with a donkey, with a horse, nor a donkey. The only option that you have is to mina, its own kind. Rashi elaborates on this point, but it's would be more valuable to spend time or to dwell on this more in the context of Maseches Bechoros, which in fact Rashi cites that. Just a correction, Maseches Chulin, Perek Oysuv Espino. The Gemara continues, Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, he explains the names that the brothers of Rabba include in the letter. Yitzchok, Ze Reb Yitzchok Nafcha. Shimon, Ze Reb Shimon Ben Pazi. V'Amrila, another version, is Reish Lakish is really Reb Shimon Ben Lakish, hence Shimon. And Oshaya, Ze Rebbe Oshaya Baribi, the great Rebbe Oshaya. And as we go on, you can see another firebox around Reb Elazar. And on the side of the Gemara, the topic heading reads, Shitas Reb Elazar Di Amei Haratzis Einon Chayim. The ignorant are not... will not merit resurrection. So Reb Elazar has a very, very harsh or very, very limiting approach to who will merit resurrection. Those that died in Chutz Loretz will not merit resurrection unless they're totally righteous individuals, and even then they go through mechilos, and the ignorant will not merit resurrection. And I think from the context it would seem the ignorant even in the land of Israel, but that's something that one would have to just to research a little further. I'm just suggesting that from putting these two statements of Reb Elazar together. So Reb Elazar says the Amaratzis, Amiorats, the ignorant ones, will not merit resurrection. Shenemar Mesim Bal Yifyu. The dead will not come back to life. Tanya Nami Ochi Mason Bal Yifyu Yochol Akol. Could that be regarding everybody? And that, of course, would be a contradictory to one of the major tenets of Judaism, which emphasizes the belief in the coming back to life of the dead. So when the Pasuk says the dead will not come back to life, could that possibly refer to everybody? No. Talmud Lomar, the continuation of the Pasuk says, Refoyim Bal Yikumu. The word Refoyim is explained b'marapeh, b'marpe atzmoy midivrei Torah kosu medaber. Marpe is literally has to do with looseness. Looseness from divrei Torah means he's not dedicated to the study of Torah. He's not connected intensely with the study of Torah. So people who remain ignorant and do not connect with the study of Torah, so that is what Reb Elazar is citing. They will not merit resurrection. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a geometric form whose position alternates, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, this form, a volcano shape or trapezoid, is referred to as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth style. And with the narrow point facing up, the narrow part facing up, cholek al dinus Reb Elazar, there is a disagreement with Reb Elazar. The Amiorat Seinam Chayim, the suggestion that the Amaratzim will not merit resurrection, and the inverted form is Siwa Lidvarv as a support to Reb Elazar. So now the Gemara. Amar Le Reb Yochanan, Lo Nicha Lemarayu, the Amris Lehu Hachi. Your drosha is not something that their master, meaning the Almighty, that God would be happy with. Ah, so what about the pasuk? Hahu b'marape atzmoi lavodes kechovim hudichtiv. That's referring to someone who loosens his connection to Judaism and opts to live a life of idolatry. Omalei. So Reb Elazar says mikra acher ani dorish. Notice the style of Reb Elazar. We saw this reaction in the previous discussion with Reb Elazar and his reaction to Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal saying. He's saying in response, I have another pasuk that I expound on. Dichtiv. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, Perek Chovav, pasuk Yutes. And the Gemara quotes part of the pasuk. But if we quote the whole pasuk, you'll see even more clearly what this is referring to. So the whole pasuk in Yeshaya Perchofa pasuk Yutes reads, Yichyu Meisecha Nevelasi Yekumu. This, by the way, was the pasuk we saw quoted on Amud Aleph. Hakitzuv Ranan, which dealt with the Yichyu Meisecha, deals with the resurrection. Hakitzuv Ranan Shochnei Ofer Ki Tal Oiros Talecha Ve'Oretz Refoyim Tapil. So now the Gemara's quote is, this is what Rebbe Lozer is arguing. He says, Ki Tal Oros Talecha Ve'Eretz Refoyim Tapil. And here Rebbe Lozer explains that pasuk. Once again, I emphasize this pasuk is in the context of resurrection. Kol hamishtamesh ba'or Torah or Torah mechayehu. The pasuk spoke about the oros, the light of Torah, so that he who uses the light of Torah means he's a student of Torah. He lives a Torah life through his Torah study, so the Torah enables him to come back to life. V'chol she'ein mishtamish pa'or Torah, ein or Torah mechayehu. And he who does not use the light of Torah, so he doesn't have the benefit of the light of Torah to bring him back to life. Kevon dechazye dekometztayer, Rebbe Lozer noticed that Rebbe Yochanan was still very uncomfortable. Omar Lei, so Rebbe Lozer says, Rebbe, motzasi lohen takona min haTorah. I have a solution for the Amoratzim from a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, "Va'atem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokechem chayim kulchem hayom." The Gemara will explain what he means by this. And notice we have a long marking at this point in the Gemara. So the pasuk literally is, "Those that cleave unto Hashem will be alive." V'chi efshel libuki b'shchina, can one cling unto the divine presence? V'aksiv. Regarding the divine presence, it says, "Ki Hashem Elokecha Eshochla." The Almighty's presence is tantamount to a consuming fire. You can't cling unto that. So, what does it mean to cling unto the Almighty? Elokol Amasi Bito L'Talmid Chacham. A person who marries his daughter to a Torah scholar. Voisa Prakmatia L'Talmidei Chachamim. One who invests the money of Talmidei Chachamim to reap profits for them, for the Talmidei Chachamim. V'hamahane Talmidei Chachamim min hechosav, and one who enables Talmidei Chachamim to benefit from their possessions, mal v'hakosav ki'ilu medabek b'shchina. People like that, now they themselves might be amaratzim, people that are involved with money investments and people of wealth that have what to share with Talmidei Chachamim. They themselves might not be learned, but they're benefiting Talmidei Chachamim, so they're considered as if they're clinging unto the Shechina. And with that in mind, you go back to the pasuk that concluded, said, "Chayim kulchem ayom." They too will merit resurrection. Kayosi b'davarato omer. Similarly, the pasuk says, "La'avos Hashem Elokecha l'dovka boi." Notice the double underlining that we have is to highlight the same question. Is it possible to do that? Ela kol amasi bito tamid chacham voice prakmati lo tamid chachamim v'manen tamid chachamim nechosav mal v'kosav ki'ilu medabek b'shchina. So at the end of this at the end of the story, you have Rebbe Lozer then telling us that people who are Torah students of Torah, and people who support Torah scholars, those are the ones that will merit resurrection. We're seeing some very, very dramatic things in the Gemara. We saw Rebbe Lozer and his comment regarding dying and being dead and buried outside of Israel, and those who are do not support Torah study and remain ignorant. All of these situations are such that they will not merit resurrection. Again, something to internalize, take into consideration, and make decisions accordingly. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a structural note, the triangle, and you'll see a double underline. These are Gimel Memrois, three statements, Shel Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, Shemeshutif Lehem Asidim. Three comments that have in common the idea of something in the future. Omar Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, Asidim Tzadikim Shemevatzvitzin V'oilin B'Yushalayim. It will come in the future that the righteous will pop up, will sprout forth in Jerusalem. Shenemar v'yotzitzu me'ir ke'esev aretz ve'ein ir el Yerushalayim. The pasuk made reference to the sprouting up in a city. The word ir is a reference to Jerusalem. Shenemar v'ganoisi el ho'ir hazos, and in the context that's a reference to the city of Jerusalem. So you see the word ir as a reference to Jerusalem. V'omar Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, Asidim Tzadikim Shiamdu B'Malbushehen. When the resurrection comes, the righteous will arise clothed. Kal v'chomer Michita. And the conclusion is through Kal v'chomer logic from the planting of a wheat kernel. Ma Chita Shenikbura Aruma. The wheat kernel, when planted, it's planted without any covering. It's literally a naked seed. Yoitza bekama levushim. It grows with many layers. When the wheat stalk grows, you notice that the wheat kernel has many layers of shell, of peel to it. So it's considered covered. Tzadikim shenikbaru bilavushehen. The righteous that are buried clothed, alachas kama v'kama, all the more so when they arise, they will be clothed. V'omar Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, asida Eretz Yisrael shetoitzi gluskois uklimilas. The time will come that Eretz Yisrael will produce forth, literally will grow forth. Gluskois are cakes, and klimilas are garments or fabrics. Shenemar Yi Pisas Bar Boretz. Now, how do you see from this pasuk Yi Pisas Bar Boretz cakes and fabrics? So Rashi explains that the word Pisas Bar has a reference to grains, and the word Bar itself means grain. Pisa, Rashi explains, is a hand. A hand is a wide surface relative to a grain. So how can I have a wide grain? So a wide grain is a reference to a baked good, something that's baked. It's made from wheat flour and baked. So the pasuk is saying that the ground will produce cakes, and klimilas is the word pisas is similar to the word pasim, the ksoines pasim that we know from the story of Yankov Avinu and Yosef, the special garment that Yankov made for Yosef. For pas, pisas, ksonis pasim. So the word pisa has this double meaning, hence these two benefits that will sprout forth from the land of Israel in the future. Tonu Rabbanan. Yehi pisas bar boretz barosh harim. Omru, asida chita. Now we have a new marking. The word asida here appears in a diamond, and you'll see a squiggle underline that follows. And on the side of the nosei mivne, asida chita tiurim shel hachita basit, descriptions of the wheat grain in the future. So from this pasuk, we say asida chita. The time will come that the wheat grain will grow so tall it's compared to a tall palm tree on the tops of mountains. It's very tall, so the grains are high up and hard to access, so it's troublesome to harvest it. Talmud Lomar. The pasuk in the same context says, "Yirash kalavonon piryo." Hakadosh Baruch Hu mevi ruach mibeis ginozov. The Almighty will bring a wind from his inner chambers. Umenashva Alel, and will blow over these grain, these wheat, these tall wheat grains. Umasha as silta, and the solas, the literally the flower, the will descend. The Adam Yoitse Lasada, a man then will go out into the fields, Umevi Malopisis Yodo, and he'll bring a handful of this in. Umimeno Parnasosu Parnosus Anche Beso. And from that he will have sustenance for himself and his household. Literally translating, it would seem that from one handful of this grain, it would be so beneficial that he would be able to support himself and his entire family. The pasuk says, "Arim chelev kilyos chita." Omru. From this we say, "Asido chita shitehe kishtei kloyos shalshoa godol." In the time to come, a wheat grain will be as large as the two kidneys of a large ox. Vial titame, and don't be surprised at such a description. Shere shual kinein belefes, a fox had made its burrow or its nesting in a lefes, a type of plant. Fishakluhu umotsu bo shishim litrin belitra shel tzipori. This is something that happened. They then weighed this lefes, and they found, after the fox had made its nest in the its den, the fox den, it made its den in this lefis, and in order to do that it had to burrow into it and eat away some of the contents. So they weighed the remaining lefis after the fox had burrowed into its contents. Shishim litrim, 60 litrin. Litrin is a measure. Today we have a term, liters. Whatever it is, but it's 60 litrin of the tzipori liter standard. So that this phenomenon of something that ordinarily, a vegetation that you ordinarily expect to be small, that can be very large, there's even precedent for that. So don't be surprised when the pasuk describes the chita as kilios, as the size of two kidneys of a large ox. Tanya, Omar Reb Yossi, Maisa B'Shichin, an incident happened in this place called Shichin, Be'echot Shiniach Lo Aviv Shlosha Bade Chardol. A father left to his son three chardol shoots or branches. Chardol is a type of plant. In modern Hebrew, the word chardol has to do with mustard, and it might very well be that. Whatever the case is, this son received from his father three chardol branches, the nifshach echod mehen, and one of them got separated from the stalk, the nimsubo tisho kaven chardol. And that one branch produced nine kav of charach. Kav is a measure. The eitzav and the wood from this sichicho bo sukas yotzin was able to serve as a roof for a craftsman's booth. Sukas yotzin. Yotzin is a potter, a craftsman, and the sukkah is his booth. What we're seeing again is a description of a plant that ordinarily is nothing near that size, but it happened that it was extraordinarily large. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Tachlifa, Kelach shel kruv hiniach lanu abo vehayinu oilim v'yordin boi besulam. The kruv is a type of plant, and there was a stalk of this kruv plant that we received from our father, and we used ladders to climb to reach its upper leaves. Again, something of extraordinary size that happened. The pasuk says, "V'dam einov tishte chomer." Now, there's a very long marking that we have here, and we call this long marking gefen. And we indicate these are meimros hakshus legefen v'yayin. This section of Gemara has comments that are relevant to the grapevine and wine. So we read this pasuk, "V'dam einav tishtech chomer omru." It said, "Lo ka'ilu mazeh olam haba." This world is not like the next world. Ha'ilu mazeh yesh bo tzar livtzor v'lidroch. There's a lot of trouble and pain that people go through to harvest. Livtzor is to harvest, and lidroch is to crush the grapes in the making of wine. Ha'ilu haba, in the world to come, maybe anova achas. The word anova, here you see is spelled with a vav, and it's used interchangeably. The vav and the bays, its spellings are used interchangeably as a reference to a grape. The word anova, generally speaking, with a vav, is associated with humility. Is there some kind of hint over here? I don't know. But in the world to come, you'll bring one grape, bekoron, in a cart. Imagine the size of one grape that you would need a cart to bring it in, but very large. Oh, the sfina, or the one grape in you need a boat to convey it. Umanicha bezovis besa, you put this grape in the corner of your house. Umesape kemeno kepitus godol, and you will be able to draw from the grape, directly from the grape, wine, as if you were drawing from a pitus godol, from a large barrel. In other words, you would attach a spigot to the grape, and out will come wine. The Eitzov, Masikin Tachas, Atavshil, and the wood you can use as fuel under your pots to cook them up. Ve'en l'cho kol anova ve'anova she'en bo kishloishim garve yayin. And you're not going to have a grape that has less than 30 se'ah. Se'ah is a measure. Garve is se'ah. 30 se'ah of wine. So it's a measure. Shenemar v'dam einov tishta chomer. That's the pasuk. Al tikri chomer elo chomer. Chomer is the measure. Chomer is a core which equals 30 saw. So just to go over the pasuk again, v'dam einov. Einov is the grape. So from this pasuk, you see you're actually drinking directly from the grape, and tishta chomer 30 saw. We have a marking, a crown shape. On the side, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, and the crown highlights Rav Dimi. These are Yityachasut, Leposuk, or Psukim, Oisri, Legefrin, Iro. We're going to be focusing on this posuk, the first point, Mai Dechtiv, and then Pashte Dekra B'mai Ksiv. First, we'll deal with the Drosha, and then what's the simple meaning of the posuk. So Kiyosa Ravdimi Omar, my dichtiv, and we also have a long Ravdimi marking, so take note of that. My dichtiv oisri legefen iro. Ein l'chol kol gefen v'gefen sheberetz Yisrael, she'ein tzorch ir achas livtzor. You're not going to have a vine in the land of Israel that you wouldn't require a city of people to harvest the vine. The la soreka bini asono, also in that pasuk, ein l'cho kol ilon srak sheberetz Yisrael she'eno motzi masui shtei asonos. This is a description of something in the future that you're not going to have a what's known as an ilon srak, is a non fruit bearing tree. That even the current non-fruit-bearing trees in the future are going to produce no less than two donkey worths. Donkeys carry burdens, so it's two donkey burdens worth of fruits. The Shema Toimar, you might say, okay, so you'll have this Ilan Srak producing fruits, but of poor quality. You'll say Shematam Ein Bo Yayin. The fruits, the grapes of these trees are not going to produce wine. Tamalomar Ki Beis Bayayin Levusho. Again, from that pasuk, the pasuk is talking about Bayayin. It will produce wine. The Shematam Eino Adom. You'll say, yeah, it's wine, but it's not the good red quality red wine. Tamad Lomar Uvadam Anovim. The pasuk describes the liquid as dam, as red. V'shema toimer eino marveh. You might say, so it'll produce red wine, but it's not going to be intoxicating the way wine should be. Talmud Lomar, Suso. And Rashi explains the word Suso, Loshon Hasota. Cheyenne Macy's is a shikor. We use the term that you're under the influence of the wine. That's exactly what is meant over here. To be under the influence of the wine means to become intoxicated. V'shem otoim ha'in botam. Say, yes, you'll have intoxicating red wine, but it won't have a good taste. Tamud lomar, chachlili einayim miayin. And this is darshan, kol chich shetomo. Chech is any palate that tastes this wine. Omer li will say, I want more and more. So apparently, good taste. V'shem otoimar linorim yofel zkenim eina yofel. Might say it's good for the youth, but not good for the aged. Tamud lomar, uleven shinayim mecholav. Al tikri leven shinayim, elo lovon shanim. Lovon is white, like white hair, white with the years, indicating it's for the aged as well. So we darshened this posuk from Bracious Mem Tes, posuk Yud Aleph. Now, and it was darshened to refer to the grapes and the vines of the future. Pashte dekra b'maiksev. What about the simple meaning of the posuk? Ki also Ravdimi Omar. Omro Knesset Yisrael Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jewish people appeal to the Almighty Ribbono Shalom. Ramoz Be'enecha. Literally, it would have to do with some type of make a hint with your eyes, like wink upon us. Show us a smiling visage. Ramoz Be'enecha. If you want to keep things very simple, say, smile upon us. The Bosim Mechamra. It's your smile upon us is sweeter than wine. The Achvili Shinechon, show us your teeth, a nice broad, toothy smile. The Bosim Mechalva, which is more pleasant than sweet milk. So that as we were asking before, the simple meaning of this pasuk, which made reference to chachlili, we saw chachlili einayim miyayin and leven shinayim echalav, the reference to the eyes and the wine as the wink, the smile of your face is more pleasant to us than good wine, and the showing of your teeth and the smile is more pleasant than chalav, than milk. Rav Chiya bar Ada makri dardiki the Reish Lakish have. Forgive me, we skipped something. Let us go back. Misayaya lei the Rav Yochanan. This drosha that we just saw of Rav Dimi supports Rabbi Yochanan. Dema Rabbi Yochanan, Tov Hamalbin Shinaim Lechavero. Better is a nice smile that you give to your friend. Yosemi Mashkeu Cholov, more than giving him milk to drink. Shinamar Leven Shinaim Lecholov. Al Tikri Leven Shinaim Elo Libun Shinaim. The whiteness of teeth, meaning show a smile which reveals your teeth. That is more beneficial to a person than providing him with milk. And this is a concept that can be expanded quite a bit, that the what's called the emotional support, the friendliness that you show to someone has more value than the giving of physical items. Another major point that is worth thinking about is that many people find themselves with a desire to help others. But there are many that don't have the means, the financial means of offering assistance to others. This Maimer Chazal, statement of Rabbi Yochanan, comes to tell us that ultimately the maximum benefit that a person can offer his friend is not necessarily associated or dependent upon financial ability. Even if one finds that they can't afford to help others that way, but emotional support and expressions of friendliness can in fact be worth even more. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Chiya bar Ado makri darded gid Reish Lakish have. Rav Chiya taught the child of Reish Lakish. Ifgar tlosa yomi v'loasa. There were three days that Rav Chiya bar Ado did not show up to his position of teaching Reish Lakish's child. Ki asa amale amai ifgris. When he finally came, Reish Lakish asked him, why were you absent? Amale, so Rav Chiya answers, dolus achas hiniach li ava, a vine which is supported on poles. That's a dolus. A vine that's supported on poles was left to me by father. Ubatsarti mimeno, and I harvested from it. Yoim rishon gimel meas eshkolos. Eshkol legarav. I harvested the first day 300 clusters of grapes, and each cluster produced a barrel full. So that if each cluster produced a barrel full, so 300 clusters produced 300 barrels. Yoim sheni, my second day, vatsarti gimel meas eshkolos, I harvested again 300 clusters. Shtei eshkolos legarav. It took then the quality went down by a day, went down, and it took two clusters to fill one barrel. So if it's two clusters per barrel, so 300 clusters will yield 150 barrels. Yom Shlishi, the third day of my absence, Botsarti Menu Gimel Meas Eshkolos. Again, I harvested 300 clusters. Sholosh Eshkolos Legarav. And then it took three clusters to fill one barrel. That would then lead to 100 barrels. Fifkarti Yoser Mechetzya, and I left, I abandoned more than half. Omar Le, Reish Lakish says, Ilav the Ifkaris, had you not been absent, Hava Avda Tfei would have produced even more. In other words, you saw that as each day of absence progressed, it was producing less and less. So Reish Lakish says, had you not been absent, it would have produced even more. There's a hidden idea, there's a concept over here that requires quite a bit of time to expound upon, but the idea here is if one dedicates himself completely to Torah study, and in this case he was teaching Reish Lakish's son Torah, a very say lofty, important, significant preoccupation, so then one's physical needs, one's finances, one's income will be taken care of. And Reish Lakish is saying will be taken care of quite generously. We continue with a new marking. On the side you see the Nosei Mivneh heading. The triangle highlights Meimros, Binyan, Zovas, Cholov, Udvash. We know that Eretz Yisrael is described as Eretz Zovas, Cholov, Udvash, the land that flows with milk and honey. Note again a long marking. This discussion takes you to the second line from the top of Kuf Yud Beis. Romi Bar Yecheskel Iklo LeBnei Brak. Romi Bar Yecheskel went to the town or the city of Bnei Brak. Chazinu Lano Izi De Ka'ochlin Tusi Te'eni. He saw goats that were eating underneath fig trees. V'kanotif duvsho miteni v'chalva tayef minayu. There was dripping sap from the figs and milk dripping from the goats. Umarav bahadi hadodi, and they were mixing together. Omar hainu zovas cholov udvash. Here you have a fulfillment of the flowing of milk and honey. Omar b'yankiv bar dustoi. Milud le'oino shloisha milin. From Lud to Ono, these are names of communities in Eretz Yisrael, the distance is 3 mil, roughly 3 kilometers. Pam achas kidamti banishaf. I got up early before daybreak. Valachti ad karsulai bedvash shel teinim, and I walked ankle deep in the sap of the figs. Omar Reish Lakish, l'dichos ili zovas cholu bedvash shel tzipori. Reish Lakish says, I saw the milk and honey of tzipori. V'have shitzar milin ashitzar milin, and it covered an area of 16 by 16 kilometers. Mil being 2,000 amas. An ama is roughly a half a meter. So 2,000 half meters is 1,000 meters, hence our calculation. These are ideas that are very deep ideas. What exactly it means, again, is beyond the scope of Gemara markings Daf Yomi, but nevertheless, we're trying to translate it as we go along. Omar Rabba Barbachana, Lidichos Ilizovas Cholu Vashel, Kol Eretz Yisrael. I perceived the flow of milk and honey of all of the land of Israel, and if you were to add up all the different locations and sizes, Vahavya Kami Bay Michsi Ad Akra de Tul Banki. It would be like the area from Beit Michsi to Akra de Tulbanki. And what amount is that? Chof Beis Parsa Urka Upusya Shisa Parsi. It would be an area measuring 22 parsa in length, 6 parsa in width. If you want to note that a one parsa, or 4 mil in one parsa. So if you take a meal to mean a kilometer, you would have to just multiply these numbers, each one, by 4. So 22 would become 88, and 6 would become 24, and that would be the measure in terms of kilometers. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.